That's a pretty special thing, isn't it? I mean, come on. Not every high school student at my high school on one of the 840, not many of them would be spending their time doing this. And so it's pretty cool that you guys are doing this. My name is David Charney. I am the high school chaplain. This is my second year. I get to teach New Testament. I get to do all kinds of fun things. I'm supposed to be the chaplain for every student at the school. So my boss told me, the president of the school said, you have to, my hope would be that you know every single kid's name. All 840. I'm in my second year. I'm getting there, right? Problem is a group always leaves, and then a new group comes. So there's 200 more names I have to learn. But it's all good. It's all good. I do have a wonderful wife. She is really tough to be married to because it's really hard for me since she does have a PhD in organic chemistry. No big deal. And then she decided that wasn't enough, that she didn't want to do research all the time, so she decided to go get a law degree. So this is what I have to live up to. So now I'm working on my doctorate just so my kids don't laugh at me all the time. She actually is an intellectual property lawyer for Newell Brands. You might know some of their things, like what she protects is the Sharpie marker, Expo markers, Papermate, Uniball, all those things. She knows all their secrets. It's kind of a cool deal, right? But I am excited to be able to teach you about the scriptures this week and to be able to just share about what I love. I came to know the Lord back in the mid-90s, and when I was your age, I was a total goofball, and like knowing the Bible was not, I was reading it, but I just, like knowing it was just hard for me. And so to see you guys sitting here and wanting to devour God's word is a pretty awesome thing. And you're way ahead of where I was. Like I was into my faith, but it wasn't, I was reading my Bible, but like understanding it wasn't what I did well. And so I'm excited to be with you today. And I know that you guys are some of the best of the best, and so I'm going to try to teach you like that. Does that make sense? And so we're going to go deep. We're going to go fast at times. But I hope that each one of us has a hunger for the Word, even more so this after this weekend. Make sense? I want to read something that Paul wrote, and it's kind of how I'm going to come to you this weekend as well. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. This is my hope for us this weekend, that you don't leave this room this time and go, wow, he spoke really well. Or you remember it in that way. I hope you walk away going, is God amazing? And all I want to do is learn more. Because any time that we think that we can capture who God is and be able to say, I've got it, we're not worshiping the God that is in the Scriptures. We're not thinking of the God that's in the Scriptures. Because He's far greater than anything we could ever imagine. But yet, He gives us the opportunity to know Him. He gives us what has been revealed, and He allows us to get to know Him a little bit better, even though He's far greater than we could ever imagine. Is that pretty amazing? I want you to also think this weekend that, you know, have you ever heard that statement, fake it until you make it? You've heard that, right? Well, there's actually this TED Talk by this woman named Amy Cuddy, and she talks about this whole faking it until you make it. It's a great one to watch, Amy Cuddy. It's under TED Talk Life Hacks. But she talks about it's not fake it till you make it. It's fake it till you become it. That there's actually science that proves that kind of idea. And so I want us to be thinking in that same way about knowing the Bible. You guys have paper there, right? Okay, this is what I want you to do. Take out your paper and a pen, and I want you to realize that each one of you is a theologian, and I'm going to prove it to you. On that piece of paper, I want you to write down answers to these questions. One, who is God? Two, who is Jesus? Three, what did Jesus do? Need some of these? Close enough. What does it mean to be a Christian? And what is a Christian meant to do? The thing they teach me about, I'm a teacher now. It's crazy being a youth minister for so long, and now I'm a teacher. The first things they told me about teaching at this school is they said the students need to sweat more than you as the teacher. And so make them do all the work. I said, cool. So you guys now have to write down your answers. Ready? One, who is God? Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? What does it mean to be a Christian? And what is a Christian meant to do? Just quickly. Doesn't have to be a book. These are all easy questions, right? Now, you can go back and fill out some of these if you want later. I just asked that question, what does it mean to be a Christian? I interviewed all the students that applied for the Christian Life Council at the school, and it was very fascinating to hear what they'd say about what it means to be a Christian. Some would say it's about believing in Jesus. Some would say it's about what you do. It was just all over the map, right? How many of you wrote something on your paper? Guess what? Each one of you is a small t theologian, if you wrote anything on the paper. What does theology mean? Anyone? Yeah. Study of God. How do you know that? Nice. Theos, right, is God. Logos at the end is word or study of God, right? Theology is the study of God. What you have just done, if you answered any of those questions, is you put a theological answer down to the question, who is God? Who is Jesus? What is a Christian meant to do? And so guess what? Each one of you is a theologian. But the question is, how many of you are biblical theologians? How many of your answers fall within the realm of what Scripture teaches? Because see, this is the big question. You could go and talk to anyone on the streets. I had to do it in seminary. We went down to downtown Atlanta, and we had to just start talking to people. We asked them eventually, who is God? What does it mean? And these people were like, I am a dead atheist. That's who I am. But they would tell you what they believed about God. They would tell you who they thought Jesus was. The question is your theology consistent with what Scripture is saying? And I think that this is an important distinction to make, because when you understand that you are actually a theologian, maybe not a capital T theologian, one that studied, has doctorates, all that sort of thing, writing books about it, but each one of you has the ability, especially when you accept Christ in your life because you're given the Holy Spirit, to be a theologian. And guess what? Each one of you is going to feel like, I'm really bad at it. because I felt like that forever. I still do. But yet, I kept faking it and faking it and faking it until now I teach New Testament in a pretty good high school, okay? And so each one of you has the opportunity to grow in your faith, okay? This weekend, what we're going to be doing is we're going to study the seven churches of Revelation. Did you know that? We're going to be looking. How many of you guys have ever read Revelation before? Remember, it's not Revelations. It's Revelation. There was only one, with one consistent, long revelation. But look at what we're going to do is I'm going to hopefully give you the tools to be able to study them. We're going to go through three as I talk about them, and then the other four you're going to do in your small groups, individual time. At small groups, you're going to work on it together. Revelation is a hard book to study. Okay, there's many ways to interpret it, and you have to understand those sort of things, but it's something that I want you to think, I can still do it, because you know what? It's still part of the canon of Scripture. It's still part of God's Word, and there's a lot of great stuff that's in there, but just realize there's a lot of imagery, many difficult things to understand, but I would say don't be afraid, but have someone around you that you can go to, be it the pastor, the priest at your church, be it your youth minister, or maybe even just going to a commentary, knowing a good commentary to go and read about, okay? But remember, it's God's Word. But before we go into the churches, the next three talks, three of the churches, what I want us to do is to get kind of a grounding, a foundation before we go into it, okay? And what, I do have a question for you. Who is the main character of the Bible? You can answer, this is interactive here. Huh? God, good. What God?
The only God, the creator of the universe.
Okay, good. Good work, good work. The triune God, the God that is the Trinity, right? We have to remember this because it's something that's going to be pulling. We're going to want ourselves to be the main character of God. I think if you ask most Christians, they want themselves to be the main character of the Bible. I think a lot of us read the Bible that way. How many of you kind of read the Bible and you're like, all this theology stuff or things about who Jesus is, you kind of go, I don't get that. And then you're like, it says to go do this. Oh, I can do that. Have you ever done that before? Totally, yeah. It's like the second half, everybody reads the second half of Paul's letters. So the first halves are all this like theology stuff and everything. And then all of a sudden he's like, and pray without ceasing. You're like, oh, I could do, wait, no, I can't do that. Wait, how, But we have to remember that God is the main character, the main person, the main focus of the whole of the Scriptures. Think about it. The story of, this whole book is the story of God. And remember, this is not the end. The one that it's talking about is the end. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We read this so that we can know who God is, the creator of the universe, the one that loves us, the one that is walking in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve, the one that creates the heavens and the earth. This leads us to that God. I mean, think about it, right? Genesis 1, in the beginning, what? God created. In the beginning, God. Right from the beginning, who is the one that's most important? God is. Go to the end, Revelation 21 to 22. What happens? Anybody know? No idea. But God brings the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 2, I saw the holy city. This is John speaking, the disciple, and now the apostle at this point. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. The beginning is about God. The end is about God. The middle is all about God. Colossians 1, you're going to be reading this in your quiet time, and your time reflection time. Colossians 1, 15 through 23. The NIV says at the end, this is the gospel that you have heard. First time I read that, or one time I was reading, I was like, this is the gospel? I've got to go back and reread this. You know what's the fascinating thing? 8 verses are about Jesus, and only 1 are about humans. And all it says about humans They screwed up. Who's the story about? Who's the point of this? God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. The Exodus, God saves them. And you know what they did? They grumbled. They sinned. And they died before they got to the Promised Land. The prophets speak about it. You have not listened to God and not followed Him. Paul's letters, we just talked about it. The first half of it is all about who God is. And then out of that, the whole, this is the big key to Paul's letters. He talks about who Jesus is, what He's done, all the great things about Him. And then out of that, because of what Jesus has done, we can go forward and do the things. It's first out of His acceptance that we are able to achieve anything. We just saw it in the song that we just sang. Can we get that slide up? It was the holiness. As he finds it, we're going to talk about it some more. But the Psalm 8, anybody know Psalm 8? Come on. Fantastic psalm. Holiness, wait, what is holiness? Is it holiness because of what I've done? Because how I've been so perfect? Because of like how many people I've brought to Christ? No. Holiness is Christ in me. The Bible talks, the New Testament talks about how Jesus gives us His righteousness. And out of that, we're able to do things for Him. It changes how we see the Scriptures. It changes how we see God. It changes our whole Christian life. But Psalm 8, awesome, amazing psalm. It talks about, the first verse is, O Lord, our God, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. And it goes through the first four verses, and it's about how God can take the, and He created the universe, not with His hands. He's so great, but He says, the work of Your fingers is what David says. That God created the universe. Go outside tonight and look at the stars and how many millions of light years away they are and everything. And God, not with His hands, He didn't have to even do that much. With His fingers, He created the universe. The work of His fingers, or His finger. How majestic God is. And at the end of it, it says this. It says that, verse 4, right in the middle of that passage, it says, what are human beings that You are mindful of them? Mortals that You care for them? It's like, hey, look at those. God created the whole universe. Look at those humans that are just grains of sand on the seashore. And if that psalm ended there, I'd feel pretty miserable. But the beautiful thing about it is, the next verse says this, yet You have made them, humans, a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of Your hands and have put all things under their feet. Think about this. In reality, we are just grains of sand on the seashore. But because of God, because of what He's doing, He lifts us up to just below Him and crowns us kings and queens and gives us dominion over the work of His hands. How amazing is that? But don't get it backwards. See, the problem is we start out and we go, oh, God lifted us up. And then after a while, what do we start doing? Man, look at what I've done. Do you see all the things that I've done? But who was it that lifted Him up, lifted us up? God was. He's the one that crowned us. It wasn't because of our great works or things like that. So we have to keep the right order. Does that make sense? And it's so tempting to go the other way. God is the one in control. God is the one to be worshipped. God is the main character. The three in one is the one that we're joining in His work with the kingdom. We have to always remember this order because we always try to flip it around. It's part of the sinful nature within us that we want to make ourselves the God of our life. And I think this is partly because of the beginning of the 1800s, there was this system of thought called humanism. Has anybody ever heard this before? Heard of humanism? Humanism came around in the last probably 200 years or so, And it's an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. A humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. They're looking for human freedom and progress. And you know the problem with philosophy often is it starts seeping in to everything that is around it over time. And it's happened in the church as well. There's many churches that have allowed us to be the ones that are the gods of our life. I think this is actually what the original sin was. Because what does the serpent say to Adam and Eve? You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, Jesus being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but took on the nature of a servant. That we're always trying to pull ourselves up. We're always trying to make ourselves the gods of our life. And we have to be careful of that. Because I think this idea slips into Christianity way too often. I'm going to be the one that does it. And so we need to have this focus on God. And I think this is what surrounds these notes to these seven churches. And we're going to look at that right now. What is the picture that you have in your mind of Jesus? On your paper, I want you to write down a few things or draw a picture of what you typically think of when you think of Jesus. Get to work, Dave Wright. See if they're done. How many of you at any point had a picture of Jesus holding a lamb? Anyone? Anyone? A lamb? Have you seen those pictures where he's always this guy holding a lamb? I was in Israel a number of years ago, and I remember in the church in Nazareth, the Church of the Annunciation, there's this mural of Jesus, and he's got this sheep over his shoulders, and he's just like jacked. Like he's got biceps and his legs are strong and he's just carrying this lamb back, you know? And I was like, man, I never think of Jesus that way. I always think of like, I'm meek and mild and holding this little lamb up front. And it was just this moment I'm like, man, maybe my picture of Jesus isn't always the best. What I want you to do, I'm going to break a rule, one of those rules that was up there. How many of you guys have your phones on you? Pull your phone out. Who's got internet? Anyone? Anyone? One bar. Go on to Google. Go to Google. This is what I do in my classes, too. Pull your computers out. Go to Google. Okay? And what I want you to do, and if you don't have a phone, someone close to you, if you can actually get the images up, I want you to go to Google and I want you to search Jesus Revelation 1. And then hit images. Okay? Do you guys have your Bibles? Yeah? Open up to Revelation 1. And as that's pulling up, because I know it's going to take like 6 years. Because we're at Camp St. Christopher. It's not like a T1 line or something. Or if you have your Bibles, open up to Revelation 1. We're going to start at verse 7. How many of you guys have Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, there were some over there. Does anybody need a Bible? Anyone? Anyone? Corey, can you pass out a few?
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. If you need a Bible, Revelation 1, verse 7. Okay, let your phones kind of pixelate. Revelation 1, Revelation's way in the back. Last book of the Bible. When I was in fourth grade, went to church every week, hated church. And I remember we had Bible Jeopardy, right? Anybody ever play that in Sunday school? So I remember, just give you a quick understanding of how different my life is. I didn't know anything about the Bible, especially in fourth grade. Like, I never listened, never paid attention. And I'm sitting there, and every time they go, okay, everybody in this line, go, you can answer this question. And we went through the whole, like, hour of Sunday school, and every single person had answered a question and had candy on their desk, except for me. Nothing, right? Yeah, I'm still crying about it a little bit inside. So they finally, the teacher goes like this. He goes, all right, David, we're going to give you an easy one. And I'm like, why are you making a fool out of me right now? And so I can still remember that feeling of like, you got to be kidding me, right? And he goes, what book of the Bible comes after Revelation? And he's assuming I'd say nothing and he could give me candy. And like that I wouldn't actually physically say anything. And so I was like, Genesis? And I'm like, I don't know. That was the only book I could think of. And so I was humiliated. All right, so verse 7. Look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. Now listen to this. Picture this. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, which is a reference to Daniel 7, dressed in a robe, a messianic reference to Daniel 7, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. When he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write there, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. Was that what you drew down on your paper? Is that what? Do you guys have that sword? What was that? Got another one of those pictures? There's like, how many of you guys saw that one on your Google search? Did you see any of them? How about that one? You saw that one? That one, I'm. That's a little bit too California for me, with like the blonde hair and the tan. There's John even in there. Like, is this the image that you have of who Jesus is? Now, this is the resurrected Jesus in the book of Revelation. It's not the one that I would picture as I'm reading the Gospels. But it's pretty amazing to try to think of and picture what Jesus, who Jesus is. He's far greater. The resurrected Christ is unbelievable. That one's a little too creepy. I don't know if I can do that one. But does that change your perspective of who Jesus is? And this is the one that is going to be speaking to these seven churches. This Jesus is the person. This is far greater, more magnificent than we could ever imagine. I also want us to look at what comes right after it. What comes after the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. Turn to chapter 4. And I'd heard that a couple epics ago, you guys talked about the throne room of God, maybe. Did I hear that right? At some point? Okay. But I want to just remind us, because I want us to know who we're worshiping. Okay. Look at chapter 4. We're just going to read that whole chapter. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, being Jesus, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, so he's now up in heaven, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. And also the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. First living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third was the face of a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under his wings, they could see everything. Day and night, they had never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him for who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Whoa. This is the God that we just sang to. This is the God that you worship on Sunday mornings. Like crazy animals in front of him that protect him, that can see everything. Rainbows around, lightning, thunder. This is the one that we're seeking to know and that wants to call us his children. That we get to be ambassadors for. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We could go ahead and Google that too, but feel free to do that later. You know what's the cool part about being a theologian? You get to actually see what God has revealed about himself. And one last thing in verse chapter 5, verse 6 and 8, look at this. Jesus was right there with him. Verse 6 says, "Then I saw a lamb." Who would that be? Jesus, right? The sacrificial lamb. Looking as if he had been slain. Interesting. Standing in the center of the throne, encircled. And where was he standing? In the center of the throne. Why is that interesting? Who was sitting on the throne? God, but yet Jesus is standing in the middle of it, like part of the Trinity. Encircled by the four living creatures and the elders, he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to the world. He came and took the scroll. He was worthy, and he went to the throne. Amazing stuff, right? I mean, it's kind of trippy, but because it's the book of Revelation. But we can still pull some things out of it. Like, how amazing is God? This is the God that we worship, that we're with. This is the Jesus that we have a far greater understanding of. That the resurrected Jesus is someone that we can worship and pray to, and that lives within us through the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you that you might have to fake it till you become it. That's only with being a theologian. That's only with understanding and knowing about the Bible. Okay, but in your faith, you do not need to fake it. Because the one who carries the seven stars has given you his Holy Spirit. You have received everything that you need to live for God. Because it's given to you, like we sang about, his holiness is Christ in me. Your connection to him is what you need. Now go out there and live for him. Because that's what we're going to be talking about when we look at the three different churches this weekend. Does that make sense? I hope that each one of you, when you pray tonight, will be in awe and wonder that you get to talk to the great King. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Majestic, holy, wonderful God, how worthy is your name. How mighty and powerful you are, but yet how caring and compassionate and loving you are to know me, to know each person here personally, to want to hear about our days, to want to hear our struggles and the things that have gone well. But yet you're so magnificent. God, I pray that each person here will have a new picture of who you are, and it'll cause us to worship you more, to praise you, and to follow you more. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, it's time for small groups. So since it's the first night, we're all going to have small groups in here. So on your name tag, like I said earlier, we've got a number, 1 through 5. So you're going to set up 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You can either just pop yourself.